Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. It's holiday season once again, and across North Carolina, people of goodwill are thinking about the less fortunate among us and the important work that charitable nonprofits do to address hunger and other problems associated with poverty. Amy Barros knows quite a bit about this subject. As Vice President of Development for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, Barros helps fill some of the yawning gaps in the social safety net by helping to put food on the table for thousands of North Carolinians in need. Barros joined me in studio recently to discuss the food bank's vital work and the broader policy issue of hunger in modern North Carolina.
Well, Amy Barros, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Remind our listeners about food banks, and particularly the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, and the challenges you face in these current times.
Oh, we're the Food Bank of Central and Eastern, so we serve all the way to the coast, 34 counties, a little over a third of the state of North Carolina. And there are so many of our neighbors who are facing hunger each day. In our 34 counties, there's 600,000 folks. And these are working families, children, seniors who don't know where their next meal is coming from each day.
It's a remarkable fact that this is the case in modern America, but it is the case. We need to do our best to address this issue. Talk to us about the scope of how many meals and food y'all are serving to folks, how many places you have located where people can actually access food, and not just food, but all kinds of supplies that they need to live their daily lives.
Yeah, so we have six branches. We are here in Raleigh, which is our headquarters, Durham, Sand Hills, Wilmington, Greenville, and New Bern. However, we work with over 900 partner agencies, so we are in every single community to make sure that we can distribute the food that is needed. There's 100 million missing meals, over 100 million missing meals in our 34 counties. Right now, we're distributing about 60 million each year. It's incredible that the community supports us and allows us to do that. We know that there's other organizations that are serving around 23 million, but there's still a huge gap of over 20 million missing meals in our 34 counties each year.
Obviously, one of the tremendous aggravating factors in recent years, but in particular in recent months, has been hurricane disasters. And in particular, of course, Hurricane Florence and Michael. Talk to us a little bit about what's been happening in the aftermath of those terrible storms.
Yeah, I cannot believe that it is 2 months post-Florence.
Yeah, we have yesterday, unfortunately.
And the rain keeps coming, unfortunately. Yeah. We have distributed over 5 million pounds of food and supplies to the affected counties. 22 of our 34 counties were declared federal disaster areas. It really just devastated our area of North Carolina. And the need is great.
It's not like it's something that's just solved in a couple days and then all these people are immediately back on their feet, right?
No, when Florence hit, we were still and still are serving several hundred families from Matthew, which was 2 years ago. So we are here for the long haul for those neighbors who need us. And we are still very, very deep in the recovery efforts. Many of our partner agencies were also hit. So, you know, the distribution channels were also affected, the infrastructure in those communities.
So where's the food come from? How does it actually get from the farm to the table of these folks who need it?
We have so many amazing partners in our community. So we work with hundreds of farmers, small farmers, large farmers, packers and growers, all of the retail channels. So the food gets to us and everything is touched by volunteers. It takes 25,000 volunteers a year for us to be able to do our work. And then from there, we work within the partner agencies to distribute the food directly to the community.
So we're coming up on the holiday season. We're in the midst of the holiday season, really. And this is always, it's a time where people focus on this issue, and that's certainly important. And we want people to become engaged. But of course, the issue is not just a holiday season problem. It's year-round, right?
Yes, hunger doesn't know a holiday, but it is. When you think about gathering around and how important food is to bring families together in the holiday season, and especially, you know, during this year when so many were affected by Florence, it's even harder than it would have been. But when children are out of school for the extended Christmas breaks or holiday season, you know, that just makes it even harder on families that are working to make ends meet each day. They're worried about childcare as well as being able to get to work, additional heating costs over the winter. And so budgets are just stretched even more thin during the holiday season.
And again, I think it's worth reiterating that the folks that y'all help, these are working people in many, many instances, right? These are people who are just struggling to get by. We have this economy right now where there's very low, at least officially, unemployment rate. And we have this sort of vision in our heads for a lot of us people who are doing okay that these are good times. But the reality is that there are hundreds of thousands of people who are working hard. They're trying to stay above water, sometimes literally in our society. But you know, they literally can't put enough food on the table for folks.
That's exactly correct. Over 75% of the people we work with are working families. They have one or more full-time jobs, and they're just trying to make ends meet at the end of each month and end of each day.
What do the people tell you about what it is that, is just the cost of living? Is it health care? What are some of the factors that make it so hard for people to make ends meet?
You know, it's everything, and the reasons are so broad. So many folks are just one paycheck away from needing the services of a food pantry or the food bank. You know, it could be a teacher whose car broke down that month and they just need a little help to get through. Right now with Hurricanes Florence, it hit so much of the hospitality industry, the Wilmington area, the New Bern. You know, when they're not going to work, those folks aren't getting paid. They have jobs or had jobs, but a few weeks without a paycheck and your savings is gone and now you need help, and then getting out of that and getting back on your feet, it's hard, especially today.
What's worth reiterating that here in North Carolina, we've made dramatic cuts over the last few years to unemployment insurance. So the safety net in general is probably more threadbare than it's ever been. It's even more imperative and critical for private agencies like yours to be there as a backstop for people. There is federal food assistance. We have the SNAP program, what people used to call food stamps. I mean, that's obviously a vitally important safety net feature for folks who are struggling. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and what's been, we've had some cuts there as well in recent years.
It is. And we actually have staff. We have benefit outreach coordinators that go into the community to help people sign up for those benefits because it's confusing, especially if you've never been familiar with it before, if you've been turned down before and you think you aren't eligible. So we work really closely with clients to help them get those benefits that they need. We cannot out food bank our way out of SNAP. For every one meal a food bank provides, SNAP provides 12. So it is incredibly important that we have a strong federal nutrition program. And that is something we as the food bank really advocate for in our communities.
And of course, also the free and reduced lunch programs that we have in our schools. We have a huge percentage of our kids who are eligible for that because their families' incomes are so low. That's another, I assume, critical. And a program that in the holiday season when kids aren't going to school reemphasizes the need for things like the food bank.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the counties we serve have 100% free and reduced lunch. It's every child. You know, when we're looking at 16% of the population in our 34 counties are worried about food, it's heartbreaking. We have to advocate for these programs. And, you know, when we're looking at our kids' programs, we're looking when the children are out of school, where that evening meal that's fresh and nutritious, where those weekend meals, where those holiday boxes of food that we can send home for the kids. But if those programs are lost, it would be detrimental to our communities.
We know for some kids, there's a certain, I don't know, there's a feeling I think that some children have maybe even of shame or of embarrassment that they sometimes have to accept a free lunch at school. And there's been some progress in, you know, making that less of a stigma for children, that, you know, everybody should be eligible for a lunch if they need it, so that there's not such a stigma on being the kids over in the corner getting the free lunch or reduced price. Have you ever dealt with that issue in terms of the folks who patronize the food bank? Do you sense that sometimes there's a stigma attached to people who have to rely on these services? And are there things that the food bank does to sort of address that and assure people that, you know, there's no shame in having to accept assistance sometimes?
Of course there is. I mean, I think that's the society, unfortunately, that we live in, that nobody wants to be the face of hunger. And we try really hard to showcase the great need without really showcasing certain folks unless they're really comfortable sharing their story, because you don't want to be the face of the hunger in the community that you live in. Our backpack program is a great example. I have young kids, and if they needed a backpack, there's no stigma. They would take that backpack of food home. But once you get into middle and high school, then you don't want to be the kid that takes the backpack of food home. So school pantries, which is a newer program, has really been great because we can work with the social workers within the school and get the food home to the kids, work with the parents, so they aren't that kid that the other kids see taking food home over the weekends.
We talk about making our schools successful. If children are coming to school hungry or leaving school hungry, the chance of them being successful in our education system, of our schools, you know, raising their test scores and all those things, those demands that we make on them, it's sort of a pipe dream, don't you think?
Oh, I agree completely. I skip lunch and you don't want to talk to me in the afternoon. You know, can you imagine a kid trying to sit 8 hours at school trying to learn or take a test when they haven't eaten for possibly a few days or since lunch the previous day?
Again, it's not just a holiday season problem, but it is certainly a holiday season commitment that people ought to be making to renewing their support for groups like the food bank. And tell us about how people can get involved. I assume you need financial support, but you also probably need volunteers.
Absolutely.
How can people get involved?
We need the community. We need you to advocate for us. We need you to share our messaging. We need you to come out and volunteer. We need you to give money because that helps us provide the vital food that we need to provide in the communities. And you can find all of that on our website. It's foodbankcenc.org.
That's Food Bank for Central and Eastern North Carolina, foodbankcenc.org.
That's it.
People should definitely check that out. They can they find out information there about how to volunteer and how to make
Absolutely.
Contributions?
So we have volunteers every day of the week. So you can come out and volunteer individually with your company, with your family. It's a great team building activity. There's also a way to give funds now through the end of the year. Actually, we have generous donors who will be matching all gifts. So for every dollar you provide through the end of the year, it will actually provide 10 meals to our community.
Sounds like something should be a must-do for all North Carolinians. If you're listening today, please check them out online and make your contribution for the holiday season. Amy, thanks so much for all you do for the cause, and we'll do this again soon. We'll talk about this in the near future, I hope.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us here today.
Coming up next, how did Virginia finally expand its Medicaid program? We'll talk to one of the advocates who helped make it happen and ask him how North Carolina could follow suit. Stay with us.